right, good morning. It's good to see some of you here, and I'll be like Mr. Rogers and welcome those of you who are coming in through Zoom or whatever it is. What is it, Facebook Live? So if you don't know who Mr. Rogers is, kids, you can ask your parents about him. Before we get into this, into the Word today, thank you guys for those songs. It was so good to sing the praises of our God. How worthy He is and how good He is. The gospel is the only thing worthy of getting that excited about. And you guys, we have the hope, man. So good. God is good. I want to pray before we begin just for a few people in our church family who need our special prayers today for Megan Hertz. Her father passed away suddenly this last week, as well as the Hunts, as Donna is going to be undergoing some treatments for cancer. So let me bow in prayer. Lord, we lift to you our dear beloved brothers and sisters here who are grieving and struggling and battling today, and we want to stand with them, Lord, for Megan, for her family as they grieve the loss of her father. Be with them during these hard times, Lord. Strengthen them, enable them to walk through this in your grace. We pray for John and Donna as they are in a new season of battling cancer. And we do pray, Father, that you would touch Donna's body. We would pray for healing. We would pray for recovery for her. Give her your grace, strength, we pray, and during this time. Father, we do pray for our state, for this whole West Coast. Lord, we pray for your people up and down this coast to turn to you in these difficult days where things are ablaze, where all sorts of things are going on. We pray for grace. We pray, Lord, for your church to stand, to serve, to be active during this time, Lord, in our communities, in helping out where help is needed. And for those who've lost homes, and we just pray for those to come around them who need help, Father. We just pray for our church worldwide, Lord, during this time as well, and that we will be faithful to you and continue to carry your gospel until you would return, Lord Jesus. We pray for faithfulness. Bless your word, we pray this morning in your name. Amen. So today's passage is going to come from a letter written to a minister of the gospel. It's not specifically written to a church, although that message is clearly for the church to know, to understand, and to apply, as our mission is the same, to make known the gospel throughout the world to the glory of God. So whether it's to a minister of the gospel or to the church that the minister is connected with, the message that we carry is the same. And so it's clearly applicable to us. I was drawn to this passage by a couple of things. A few weeks ago, Pastor John was in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in our study of Corinthians. And as he read verse 7, those words just kind of jumped off the page when it says, "Love endures all things." And my mind immediately went to 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul says those words there also in a different context, but he says, "I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." And I thought, wow, what does that look like for that kind of love to endure all things? So I went to the passage, the second chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and as I looked at that and I asked that question, what does it look like for that kind of love to endure? As a man who's been redeemed by the gospel, but redeemed by the grace of Christ, as that redeemed person endures as he carries the gospel. And what does it look like in the life of that church? And then as I went on in that passage, I saw, wow, what? Look at the encouragement that God's word gives this minister of the gospel and this church as they would carry out that task of carrying the gospel in really difficult situations. Even, and then as I read, I thought, wow, look at this. And you'll find in the passage today, Paul is physically distanced from his audience. And I thought, wow, isn't that for today? Where we find ourselves in a limited kind of a situation, not just here, but worldwide, where the church is being limited. Listened to Lito and Tess Sampan this week in a Zoom call for Devote Time, and they are in the Philippines, physically distanced from the people, but what God is doing in the midst of that is exciting. And so what does that encouragement from God's word look like? So we're going to look at this passage, and I pray that in some way it will touch each one of us today in whichever way the Spirit of God intends. And by the way, one other thing. For those kids out there who are listening today with your families, I have a little challenge for you. So as you're listening to the sermon, in the passage, there's three roles, three people, three kinds of persons that are mentioned by Paul. They're metaphors for us to learn from as we carry the gospel in our world today. And so I want you kids listening for those three roles. It's kind of like doctor or fireman or basketball player, something like that. Those aren't the ones, but something like that. Okay, so be listening for those. Chachi, pay attention, okay? And I'll check in with you at the end of the sermon. Listen for those kinds of people, and then when you get home or when you're with your parents at dinner time, talk about that and how those things help us as Christians to do what Paul's telling us in this passage today. How we can carry that out. So since I'm physically distanced from you kids, you can hit your parents up for some kind of reward for listening well, okay? So, or see Pastor John when he comes back as he's in Rhode Island today. So if you would, open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we will read verses 1 through 13. I'd like to invite you all to stand. Whether you're here in the sanctuary or you are home together, if you can, if you're able, I would invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 13. I'll be reading in the ESV. At home, you can read whatever translation you'd like. If you're here, please read in ESV with me. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It's the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say. For the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. It is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. You may be seated. Lord, we pray as we hear from you today through your word. Speak to us, Lord. I pray for those that don't know you to hear the gospel today. Their ears might be opened by the grace of Christ. For those that know you, Lord, they might be challenged, they might be encouraged to be faithful as stewards of the gospel. Lord, and as we that we as a church might be faithful to the mission you've given us by the power and grace of Christ in us until you come. Bless this time in your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There'll be four main points and then a saying that will sum up this passage. Four main points that I'll focus on today about the minister of the gospel. And again, the minister of the gospel, Timothy was a pastor. He was being mentored, being trained by Paul. He had served alongside Paul. He'd been commissioned by Paul to pastor a number of the churches that Paul had been a facilitator in them beginning. And this is the last letter, probably the last letter that Paul writes. And he's writing to Timothy here. And so this minister of the gospel, Timothy, he is a pastor. But as I said, we can learn from this, right? There was a special calling on Timothy's life, but there's a special calling on all of our lives as followers of Jesus Christ to carry the gospel. This, the gospel that by which you have been saved is the gospel that you have been entrusted to pass on to others as a good witness. So as a minister of the gospel, how does this happen? What does this look like for a minister, like I said before, who is filled with the love of Christ? In that love, then to endure all things for the sake of others, for the sake, as he says, the elect. What does that look like? What is true of that minister of the gospel? What is true of that church, then, who would seek to minister the gospel to the world? So first, there's four points that you can kind of put down if you're taking notes. One, the first one is that the minister of the gospel is strengthened by gospel grace. He's strengthened by gospel grace. Second, the minister of the gospel entrusts the gospel. He entrusts the gospel. Third, he suffers for the gospel. He suffers for the gospel. And lastly, he reflects and remembers the gospel. He reflects on and remembers the gospel. And then there's a, like I said, there's a saying that Paul gives us at the end of this group of verses that we'll see will sum up what he is saying here. You then, my child, verse 1 begins, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You then, this is following a beginning chapter where Paul lays out, hey, I'm suffering for the gospel. Don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of the prisoner of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Join with me in suffering. It's going to be hard, Timothy. You're going to have to entrust to Christ your life, everything, your future, entrusted to him. But he's faithful. He will keep what you've committed to him until that day. It's not a hopeless calling. It is the only calling with hope to be ministers of the gospel. He is strengthened. He says, you then, my child, he's a child in the faith. Paul had discipled Timothy up, caused him to grow in the faith. Be strengthened, he says. Be strengthened. This calling is a calling that requires strength, but it's not just any strength. It's not a worldly strength. It's not a strength that we can derive from our own flesh. It's not a strength that we get from eating certain foods or even from going to church on Sunday. Lots of people can do that. It doesn't mean anything unless the message has entered. Be strengthened, he says, by what? By the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's a receiving of grace. The active one in this is not actually the person receiving. That's kind of the intransitive action here. He's receiving, but the active grace is coming to that person. Am I in a position, in a posture, to receive the grace of Christ day by day? Paul is calling Timothy to be in that place. Posture yourself to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ. Ephesians 2, 4 through 9 talks about this grace. Maybe you're familiar with that passage. Paul has been talking to the Ephesians about how they had been dead in their trespasses and sins, but then God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of grace. This grace is immeasurable. Immeasurable riches of grace in kindness toward us. Where is this grace found? In Christ. Not in our flesh, not in this world. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That is not from yourself. It's not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. This grace by which we're saved is the same grace that gives us power to serve the gospel. We never will outgrow our need for grace. Never. It's never by our own doing. Paul chided the Galatian church because they began by the Spirit, they began with grace, and then they turned to works. Oh, I can do this now, God. No, you can't. No, I can't. You will never be able to live the Christian life apart from the grace of Christ. Don't even try. But what a joyful thing it is to live by grace. Grace, right? Riches of Christ given to us, not because we did anything to deserve it. Isn't that so good to know? That today, just as the day I received Christ, today, his same attitude is toward me. Let me fill you. Let me give you what you need to walk this day, to do this calling as a minister of the gospel. And so it flows into this next part, verse 2, of entrusting the gospel. The things you've heard from me, the gospel is not something we make up. The gospel's never been something we make up. The gospel is from God. The apostles received it. Paul received it. And then Paul passed on the gospel that he was preached. You don't have to add anything to it. It's complete. Don't add anything to it. And make sure you get it right. Don't be caught preaching a false gospel. We must guard the message. We must get it right. We must keep it. And then we must entrust it, he says. Have you heard it from me? Now entrust it to faithful men, reliable men who will be able to teach others also. Four generations there of the gospel, right? Four generations. I'll let you count it up. I was reading about the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and the requirements that's required. If you've been to Arlington Cemetery in Virginia, right? Okay, I got a thumbs up from Isabella. If you've been there, you've seen the soldiers, right? Marching back and forth, 21 steps, boom, turn around, 21 steps, boom, turn around, for as long as they're on duty. And then they hand it off to the next soldier. But guess what? If that next soldier, if they find any flaw in his uniform, in his attire, in something that his hair, whatever it is, all these requirements, if there's any flaw, he goes back down to get checked out again, and the soldier that's on duty stays on duty. He does not pass on the charge of honoring that and guarding that tomb until the next person is ready, faithful, prepared to carry on the duty and then pass it on to the next person. Now, if the world puts so much stock in honoring, and they should, the grave of soldiers who fought valiantly, how much more should we? The gospel of Jesus Christ, which is for the salvation of the world. Eternal salvation. Eternal glory, as Paul will say later in the passage. So, we entrust it to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We pass it on to faithful men. Are we doing that? Are we protecting the gospel? Do you know the gospel? That great news that I could never save myself, that I was dead in my sins, but because of God's love and mercy, he sent Christ, the sinless one, to take the full brunt of God's wrath for my sin, for the sins of all who would be his. He took it all so that God, the just one, would be just in justifying us. It's not a cheap grace. It's not a, well, okay, I think I'm just going to save you. No, the gospel says Jesus died for our sins. He died in my place. He took my penalty that I could never pay. If I pay my own penalty, how long would I pay? How long is hell? Eternal. Because we serve an eternal, holy God. His justice is eternal. He is infinite. So the wrath of God must be infinite. How do I ever pay for an infinite debt of sin? I can't. I would have to die infinitely in hell. That's hell. And Christ said, I'll take that for you. Infinite God becomes man and takes the infinite wrath of God on the cross. I'm set free. That's the gospel. And he rose again, and I rise with him to a new life. That's the gospel. It's not because of me. I didn't do anything to do it, to deserve it, to earn it. I don't keep it by my own power. It's Christ, Christ, Christ. We've got to have that gospel right. We have to be able to pass that. Are we protecting that gospel? Are we preaching that gospel? Who are you entrusting it to? What's her name? What's his name? Are you entrusting the gospel? That's what Paul told Timothy he had to do. Are you and I, are we as a church taking time daily to make sure we have the message right? Who is the next generation in our church here, First Baptist? Who is the next generation who is going to rise up and carry the gospel? Who is that next soldier? Who's that next one? It's a challenge to those who are supposed to be doing this, and it's a challenge to you young guys and you young ladies that I see here today. Are you going to take that deposit of the gospel? Are you going to run with it in such a way that you keep it, you protect it, and you then pass on to the next generation? It only takes one generation for it to die. Don't let it be yours. Well, if you would take that call, you might want to know something. Everyone who takes that call suffers. Paul was in prison, chained as a criminal for the gospel. There are people around the world today who are suffering the ultimate price for the gospel. But whether you pay the ultimate price with your life or you pay every day in sacrifice, in giving things up, in laying things down, in saying no to the flesh, and going, you're going to suffer in this world. You are going to experience things that if you didn't trust in the gospel, you wouldn't have to deal with. You will suffer. And he gives us three metaphors to help us with what this should look like. He says, verse 3, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier, kids who are listening, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules, and it's the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Three metaphors here. The soldier, his aim is to please whom? The one who enlisted him, the one who says, you, I want you, you're mine. Serve with me, fight with me the good fight. The soldier is focused on Christ, the one who called him to join, who called him to be part. We fight with Christ. The athlete is the one who keeps the rules. He's obedient to Christ. Paul lists out several rules. Listen, grace is not against rules. Grace is not against rules. But grace does not trust in the rules to save. Right? Grace points us to Christ. Grace gives us Christ, gives us his salvation, and says, now that you are free in Christ, don't go back to what you used to be when you were entangled and enslaved. Go forward. You are in a new life with Christ. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation. The old is past, the new has come. Live as people of God. He's not against rules, but we don't trust in the rules. We embrace the rules by faith, by joy, saying, Lord, I want to be yours. I want to walk with you. I don't want to go back to that old stuff. Depart, right, from sin. Depart from iniquity. The Lord knows those who are his, he says in verse 19. He knows those who are his. Let everyone who names the name of Christ, of the Lord, depart from iniquity. Cleanse yourself from what is dishonorable, he says in verse 21. Verse 22, flee youthful passions. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish and ignorant controversies. Sorry. There are rules to following Christ. This is an athlete has rules. And they're good. They're good rules. It's good for us to follow those. Avoid certain things that will get you off the path. The grace that saves is the grace that sanctifies. The same grace, keeping our eye on the prize, we will be crowned when the race is finished. Don't stop mid-race. Keep running. Stay in the lines. Run. And then the hardworking farmer. We focus on Christ. We're obedient to Christ. And as servants of the gospel, we work with Christ. We don't just work for him. It's not like I'm doing everything for Jesus. He's called us to work with him. And it's a hard work. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. Though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Grace works hard. Grace enables us to work hard. It's not a lazy faith. It's not a lazy life that we're called to. I was blessed, I mentioned already, by Lido and Tess Sampound the other night. We talked with them during the prayer time. And wow, even in the midst of very difficult times in the Philippines there, they were full of joy, full of faith. And I was like, man, I love that. They weren't going, oh man, there's COVID-19. Oh man, there's floods. Oh man, this is so... What are we? No, they were filled with faith, filled with joy. And I said, that's the attitude. That's the attitude I see in Paul here. He's not saying, oh, Timothy, feel sorry for me. I'm in prison. He's not doing that. He's saying, man, I'm finishing this race. And there's a waiting for me, a crown. That all who have loved the Lord's appearing will receive. He wasn't running with his head looking backwards, looking down. He was running. Eye on the prize. The last part of this tells us to reflect and to remember. What's the mindset of the minister of the gospel? What's the mindset? He tells us here to reflect. And I just want to say a word about this for a moment. Do we take time to think about what we've heard from God's word? I want to challenge you to pause and say, Lord, what did you just say to me? What is God telling you today? Think over what is being said. And I love it there. The Lord will give you understanding in everything. I think this needs to be a discipline of ours, right? To take time. God, what are you saying? What is your word requiring here of me? What is it, Lord? And the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And in that reflection, Paul says, remember Jesus Christ. And then he says a couple things about him. Remember, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. He's not dead. He's the victor. Remember Jesus Christ, the offspring of David. Who was David? David was the king of Israel. What was so special about David? What was so special? God had made a promise to David. From your body, your descendant, there will be one who will always reign on the throne. And then in Isaiah 9, this prophecy is given of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. That's who Jesus is. He is the risen from the dead. He is the offspring of David, which was prophesied of here. His government, his rule will never end. It's only increasing. So we have joy as followers of Christ. Even though we might suffer now, even though we might give up things now, that's okay. What can that compare? Look, guys, this world, I don't care who you are. Richest guy in the world, Bill Gates, I don't know who it is, right? Warren Buffett. They don't have anything on the poorest person in Christ. Nothing. I guarantee you one day that poorest person in Christ will be so much more glad that he's in Christ than that he had Warren Buffett's money. Guarantee it. You belong to Christ if you are in him, if you've received his grace, if you've fled to the cross for his mercy, you're in Christ. No matter what you suffer, it's nothing. It's nothing compared to the incomparable glories that you will have in him. The things of this world, the things we suffer now are gaining for us in much greater, far, far greater reward. Paul says in, I think it's in 2 Corinthians 3 or somewhere in there. Far greater rewards in Christ. So don't be sad. Be joyful. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, has preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. And here, I love this, but the gospel, the word of God, is not bound. The word of God is not bound. Preach the gospel. Get the word out. Share it. Speak it however you can. Get that message out. I was kind of bummed again this year that we're online distance learning. I can't see my students. I'm not used to that. I don't like to teach that way. Paul was in a dungeon in Rome. Or was it a house? I don't know. Anyway, he was imprisoned anyway. He couldn't go anywhere. He couldn't go see Timothy. He couldn't go see the Ephesians. He couldn't go see these people. But wow, during that time, some of the most valuable documents the world has ever known, some of these epistles were written. Praise God for Paul's imprisonment. He was bound, but God's word wasn't bound. You have a boundless gospel, folks. Let's share it. I'm saying this to myself. Don't be afraid to share it. You have the living Christ. He's real. He's true. He's coming again. He's working in this world. Work with him. The gospel is the power of God unto... Come on. The gospel is the power of God unto... Salvation, right? For the Jew first and also for the Greek, right? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of Christ. If you're an apostle in prison, if you're a teacher limited by Zoom, if you're told in your company, don't talk about Jesus, well, you have all authority, by the way, in heaven and earth to speak. So that's a man-made rule. It's okay. I lived in a country where they said, you can't do that. God says you can. So do, and trust God with the results. It takes wisdom, it takes prayer, but God opens those doors, right? Don't be afraid. Get the gospel out. People need that gospel. They need the only truth by which we can be saved. Therefore, Paul endured everything by the love of God that had been shed abroad in his heart. He says, okay, I'm willing to go to prison. I'm willing to be shipwrecked. I'm willing to spend nights cold, sleepless, be alone here as he was in Rome. I'm willing for that. Why? Because it is by that gospel. As I endure everything, the gospel is going to reach. And he says here, for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Yes, there is an elect. Okay, the scriptures make that very clear. Yes, we have to preach. We can't say, oh, well, God knows who's going to save, and so I don't need to do anything. That is not what the scripture says. Don't ever give in to that lie. That's not what the scripture says. Paul said, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they might obtain the salvation that is in Christ with eternal glory. Yes, God is going to do his will. He's going to fulfill his purpose. But he's chosen me as his minister to bring that gospel. And yes, you have to do that. That's God's will. It's God's purpose. God's sovereign choice for it to happen that way. So do it. Do it, Alan. That they may obtain the salvation of Christ with eternal glory. Paul said, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Why? It doesn't matter what man says. It's what God says. His glory. And that's the glory we have for eternity. When God says one day, when you've been belittled by everyone in your life, and you're standing one day beside him, and he says, ha, here's my child. Now, what were you guys saying about him? Oh, that's where we want to be. That's where we want to be. With Christ, with eternal glory. And so he sums up this with this saying. And it's a hard saying, but it's something he said, so we need to pay attention to it. He starts with the first half of it, which is, again, summing up the gospel. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. What a great truth. If we've died with him, we will also live with him. That's happening right now. We have died with Christ. If you have died with Christ, you have been raised with him in his likeness, in the likeness of his resurrection. Right? That we might no longer be slaves to sin. If we endure, are you going through hard times right now? There are hard times in this world. Yeah, but it's not without hope. If we endure with him, we will also reign with him. Remember who he is. Son of David. Right? Risen from the dead. We're going to reign with the risen, living King of Kings. Lord of Lords. If we deny him, wait a minute, what? He will also deny us? Wait a minute, that doesn't sound like good news. Well, let me talk about that for a moment. What does it mean if we deny him? Peter denied him, right? Is that what he's talking about here? Maybe some of us have denied him, where if we had an opportunity to share him and we shrunk back and said, oh, I don't know Jesus. And then there was that sorrow and that repentance. We came back to Christ. Is Christ willing to bring us back? Absolutely. Absolutely. He restores us by his grace. But there are those that would deny him and say, no, I don't want Jesus. Those who maybe have looked like they followed him. We know some in our day, just recently. A pastor back east who had written a famous book about dating. Suddenly says, I don't believe. I deny Jesus. What's going to happen with him? What is he denying? If we deny him, what does it look like to deny him in a denial that results in his denial of us? What does that look like? Well, if we look for our strength from self, if I say, like I heard one man say to me in China one day, well, I just trust myself, which, by the way, a lot of so-called people say in the church, they're trusting themselves. If I'm trusting myself, my good works, my ability, if I'm trusting myself, I'm denying him. I'm saying, Jesus, you didn't need to die. I can do it on my own. That's a denial of Christ, is it not? If I change the message of the gospel, I say, well, just, you know, Jesus died. That was a nice example, but you don't really, you know, you can just be good and it's all okay. That's a damning heresy. You aren't good enough. You have sin. We all must die with Christ. We all must be saved. We must be born again. It's a damning message to change the message. It's a denial of Christ to tamper with the gospel. It's denying Christ when we say that this temporal world is better than Jesus. When we see Jesus and we see this world, we say, you know, Jesus, you're kind of cool, but I'm really more interested in all of this. I'd just rather have the world. Maybe we'll catch up later. That's a denial of Christ. It's a denial of his saving grace. It's a denial of his saving gospel, and it's a denial of his eternal salvation, choosing a temporal counterfeit salvation, choosing a temporal world rather than the eternal kingdom of Christ. It's a denial of Christ when we go that direction and we persist in that direction without repentance. That is a denial of Christ, and yes, as he says here, he will also deny us. He will say, I never, ever knew you. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Now you might think, oh man, that's tough. That's hard language. But you know what? That is really good news. What do you mean? Well, because he will never deny himself. He will always be faithful to himself. He cannot, he says there at the end, he cannot deny himself. That's good news for the minister of the gospel who is suffering because of Christ, who has said, I refuse the world so that I might have Christ. That's good news. Why? Because only God is good. God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. Do we want a salvation bereft of justice, bereft of goodness, bereft of holiness, bereft of goodness? Do we want that salvation? Is that salvation? Absolutely not. That's hell. I'm thankful that God is faithful, that he will not deny himself. That's good news. If he wasn't true to who he is, there would be no good news. There would be no gospel. There would be no salvation. There would be no grace to be strengthened by. There would be nothing worth suffering for. There would be no words worthy of reflection, nothing worth understanding, no Savior worthy of remembrance, no victorious King, no eternal glory if he is not true to who he is. He must be. He cannot do otherwise. As John Piper said in one book he wrote, God is the gospel. He is the gospel. He is the zenith of the good news. It's about him. He is good. He is glorious. We sang a song about that. Only a holy God. What a beautiful song. God is faithful to himself, and if he were not, there would be nothing good. I can't imagine living with the Greek gods forever, can you? What a hellish existence that would be. God's not like that. He's true to himself. He is holy, righteous, true, good, everything. I'm thankful for who he is because there is now a gospel that can save because of who he is, because of his righteousness, because of his grace. And he gives that to us. And that's the gospel that we are to carry with great hope, with great joy. We have a grace. We have grace to strengthen us because he is faithful to himself. We have grace to strengthen us as ministers of the gospel. Because he is faithful to himself, we have a gospel worthy of guarding and suffering for and entrusting to others. Because he is faithful to himself, we have a victorious King whose unchained gospel will accomplish the purpose for which he entrusted it to us and with whom we will enjoy eternal glory forever because he is faithful to himself. Lord, we worship you, the only holy one, the true God, the one of Psalm 103 who forgives our sins, who casts them as far as the east is from the west. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Lord, we bless you. We thank you for who you are. And we thank you for calling us to be ministers of your gospel, a church that ministers your gospel. May we be faithful to that. May you give us the grace to do that. May we do that in your love, enduring whatever comes our way with you, that the elect might obtain the salvation also that is in Christ with eternal glory. Lord, we thank you that you are glorious. We worship you. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.